Hear now the story of Jesus' last meal with his disciples from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Can you hear? No? How about now? There, okay. All right. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 12 through 25. Let us listen together for God's word. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared for the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to him and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." May God bless this reading and hearing.
There is a truth in the well-worn saying, "You are what you eat." The things that we put into our mouths, right, they become the building blocks of our skin, our blood, and our bones. And because our physical selves are so inextricably interwoven with our minds, with our emotions, with our spirituality, what we eat makes a big impact on our whole selves and our whole lives. It is World Communion Sunday. So I've been thinking a lot this week about communion in general, but also been thinking about the crushed grapes and the broken bread, the elements that we put into our mouths and eat around the communion table. What are they? What do they mean? What do they do? How do they shape us when we eat them and change our lives? And do they do that at all? Thinking first about the grape juice in particular. The grape juice that we have at our table on most Sundays is purchased commercially. It comes in plastic jugs from the grocery store. But you know, I thought about how many hands must have to touch that in some way before it comes to us. Dozens, probably. People to plant and to nurture and to harvest. People to prepare it and package it and squish it and put it into bottles and boxes and to ship it to the store, people to receive it, to unpack it, to put it on the shelves and then resell it to our deacons who drive up to the store and buy the grape juice and bring it back here to prepare it and put it on our table. There are dozens of people who interact with that grape juice before it gets here. So I think we could say that it is a gift to us from creation, but also from the labor of so many hands that touch it. The bread is similar, of course. It is also an agricultural product, and dozens of people interact with that flour that becomes bread before it arrives at our table. So it is also a gift of creation and labor of hands, but it's also special in another way. I have been here for over 2 years, and I cannot think of a time when that communion bread was not made for us by Reverend Susan. Every month, she bakes that gluten-free bread as an act of faith, as a way of caring for all of us, and as a heart offering, so that when we take and we eat it, that we might be fed. So the bread and the juice is gift, it is heart offering, but of course it is also part of a ritual that we celebrate around here, an ancient ritual that has many names. One of the names it goes by is Lord's Supper or Last Supper, because at the table we remember, it's a remembrance meal of Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples before he is arrested and tortured and crucified and before he died. It goes by the name of Holy Communion. The word holy means other, so there's a certain specialness and otherness to this ritual. And communion, that word is about spiritual unity, kind of a mystical unity that happens between us and God at the communion table, between us and those we gather with, and because it's World Communion Sunday, it's important to remember that there's a spiritual unity that happens with our table and all of those other communion tables around the world as well. It is a ritual that goes by the name Eucharist. It's a great 50-cent word you can use around the water cooler and your offices. It means thanksgiving. It means gratitude. It's a ritual that goes by the name of Heavenly Banquet. Theologians use this language to talk about the communion table as a foretaste, a little sample of what we will taste when God finally weaves this whole broken world back together, right? We sit around the table with people who are like us and who are unlike us, all different but all loved and all loving one another. It is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. It's a ritual that's also named sacrament because it is a visible sign of an invisible grace, which is to say that at the communion table we can see and we can taste and we can touch and we can smell and we can experience to some extent the forgiving grace of God. As mysterious as that is, we get to taste a piece of it. So there are more names that communion goes by, and there is much more to say about communion. But I hope from just this we can begin to see that the bread and the juice, the crushed grapes and the broken grains, that they are just packed, filled with the most amazing things. They are gift. They are remembrance. They are heart offering. They are other. They are spiritual unity. They are gratitude. They are a visible sign of an invisible grace, and they are a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. And putting that all together, then, we can say that the bread and the juice, that's love, right? I mean, love is what we give one another at the communion table. Love is in the bread and the grapes. Love is what we put into our mouth. And love is what we eat. And here is the great good news about that. You see, because you are what you eat, and because you eat love at the communion table, well, you get it. That means that you are love too. That's a message that's worth getting out of bed on a crisp fall morning, getting out from under the down blankets, getting the family all rustled into the car, and coming down here to hear. The dear ones, in just a few minutes, you will get to eat love, and you will get to be love again. Because you know, after all, you are what you eat. Amen.